Hello and welcome, Breakthrough Success listeners. I'm your host, Mark Guberti, and this is the podcast where you'll learn how to achieve the breakthroughs you've been looking for in your business and life. If you want to grow your content brand, you'll definitely want to add my latest book, Content Marketing Secrets, to your reading list. This book will teach you how to create, promote, and optimize your content for growth and revenue. You can get your copy at Mark Guberti, that is Mark with a C. So markguberti.com/book. And now let's dive right into the show. For episode 82 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast, we are going to talk about achieving smooth sailing business growth with our guest, Lindsay Phillips. Lindsay is a CEO and founder of Smooth Sailing Business Growth. She leads a rockstar team to support entrepreneurs who are seeking fast-paced business growth, but finally have come to the realization that they cannot do it alone, do it all, and do it well. She is also the host of the Sailing to Success podcast and Smooth Sailing Online Support TV. And now, without any further ado, it is my pleasure to welcome Lindsay to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mark.
Lindsay, it is such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast. And before we go deep into achieving that smooth sailing business growth, I'd love to get some backstory. So why did you start Smooth Sailing Business Growth?
So I was doing VA work. I mean, I've had my own business in the past. It was a completely different industry. And just with small kids and my lifestyle changed a little bit. And I just wanted a different lifestyle, right? I wanted to be home more with the kids. I wanted, you know, more revenue and not, you know, running that hamster wheel like we can all relate to. And I was working part-time. I was doing some online stuff, you know, in my quote-unquote spare time. And then I just loved the whole online world and online marketing and social media and just knew that, you know, I wanted to really pursue that. And I was getting busier and busier and burning the candles at both ends and, you know, finally quit my part-time jobs and just went into this. You know, it was like, go big or go home. And haven't looked back since.
Lindsay, thank you for sharing with us the backstory of what got you started with Smooth Sailing Business Growth. And ever since you started, you've been able to achieve a smooth sailing business. You've coached others on that journey to achieve smooth sailing business. And you've taught as well in addition to the coaching. So what do you see as the core blocks for all smooth sailing businesses?
We mean like what holds them back from achieving more?
Oh, the core building blocks. Like what are the essentials that all of them seem to have?
All the successful businesses I find is that they're consistent with their content marketing. So you'll find that, and they're also consistent with their branding. So I find those two things together. So, you know, just using my website as an example, you'll see I've got the sailing theme, I've got specific colors and specific fonts, and I carry that throughout my social media, my blogs, my posts. Everything is consistent and cohesive. So you'll find other successful businesses that are out there, they have a very distinct brand model and they're consistent throughout it. Same with content marketing. You know, you can't just post a blog and a couple of posts and expect leads to come flooding through. You need to target your market effectively through content marketing and be really consistent about it. And as you grow, kind of build that sales funnel so that you can create more leads, nurture them, and convert them.
We are just about to dive into sales funnels a little bit, but before we do that, you mentioned being consistent with content marketing, but What exactly do you suggest for the actions we should be taking to leverage content marketing? Any specifics?
One of them is to make sure that you're on a schedule. You know, whether you're using Teamworks or your calendar, it's just getting on that routine, using a template, to know when exactly your blog is going live or your video is going live and, you know, when you're going to promote that and pulling extra little tips out of it to, again, serve your audience with information that they want to know. The other thing with content marketing, too, is that, and I think this piece gets a little bit lost sometimes, is that, sure, you want to put out content to, like, attract those prospects, right? But you also have to use it as a relationship building tool. Because if you're not engaging with those people within social media that are commenting on your posts, that are, you know, reading your blog posts, that are listening to your podcast show, then you're not going to be able to progress. You need to foster those relationships along the way and nurture them.
And earlier I mentioned that we're going to go into the sales funnel later, because you could do all this marketing, and then when you get people on your list to become leads, the sales funnel is what converts those people into customers. So how can we utilize sales funnels to increase our revenue?
For sure. And that's a great question. And I think people kind of get overwhelmed when they think sales funnels and they don't really know where to start or where to begin. And the first thing you need to stop and think about is, what is the product funnel, I guess you could call it, or I call it an ascension ladder. So you have to think about where people start. You know, if you're doing a Facebook ad for a lead magnet or report, whatever that may be, that's kind of like your entry point, right? And then it's, where do you want them, what step do you want them to take next? So maybe you've got, you know, a book for $12.99. And then maybe after that, the next natural step would be for them to purchase an inexpensive course for, I don't know, $100, let's say. And then maybe you've got like a 3-month course that's, you know, $600. And then you have this natural progression of steps. You know, someone that's going to jump onto your e-list and get a download, you can't necessarily go for the ask to get them to join, you know, a $20,000 mastermind, let's say, or go to a $5,000 event. It's just, it's too much of a leap, right? You kind of got a date before you ask someone to marry you. So you have to just have that ladder, that ascension of your products and services, and then your sales funnels have to match that. So your emails have to naturally always serve them, always nurture them, give them lots of great content, let them get to know you, you know, ask them questions. Don't be afraid to make your emails interactive. And then you're going to guide them to make the next natural step. And then once they've done that, then you're going to move them to the next thing on your product ladder. So it's all about moving them to the next stage that you want them to go.
And I really love that ascension ladder idea, because when people first get to know you, like $7 is a tripwire, like that's something people are very willing to put down. But if you ask them, as you mentioned, that $20,000 and $50,000, people are not going to be as willing to do that right away at the start of the relationship. And speaking of relationships, we talked about building relationships a little earlier. One of the best ways to do that, in my opinion, is to launch your very own podcast. So, and you have your own podcast. So I was wondering if you could explore how we can utilize podcasts to grow our businesses.
I mean, there's tons of different goals for podcasts. And I mean, some people have podcasts strictly to build an audience so that they can have a sponsorship model. And, you know, have sponsorships within their commercials, within their podcasts. And that is an earning potential for them. I would not say this is a goal for, you know, everyone. It's certainly not a goal for me. For me, it was all about sharing great content for entrepreneurs, that stuff that I wanted to know when I started out, right? And the other thing that I had a goal for in regards to podcasting was meeting new entrepreneurs and extending my network and building relationships. And so those two things were my goal for my podcast. So you have to be really clear on what it is that you want. I mean, I know I have a lot of people too, right, Mark, are focused on how many downloads I have. You know, it's not all about the numbers. I mean, you can have a small audience, but maybe they're really involved and you have, you know, relationships with them on social and you comment back and forth and, you know, they're on your e-list and they're buying things. It's, you have to really look at your goals. But I mean, podcasting, you definitely can build your audience through, you know, if they're going to your website, they'll see your opt-ins, they'll get more engaged in your content, they'll begin to trust you and feel like they know you, right? I mean, when I listen to podcasts and you hear two people chit chat, you kind of feel like you're part of that conversation. So you really feel like you know, that you know those people. And that's the beauty of podcasting, is to help foster that relationship a little bit quicker.
I never really thought of podcasting like that. I mean, that's a new description of the listener being in the same conversation as if it was a threesome. Uh-huh. And I really find that's a really interesting thing to think about. I don't want to like go too much into detail about how much I appreciate that point, but one of the things people want to do in a smooth sailing business is to have that revenue. And we talked a lot about that when we were talking about creating the sales funnel. So how would you suggest that we maximize our revenue potential?
Maximizing your revenue is to, because there's so many moving pieces with content marketing, right? And online marketing in general, and it just seems to be growing. The more platforms there are, the more opportunities there are out there. But I think the biggest thing for me is focusing on the relationships. You know, if you're in Facebook groups, if you're messaging with people, commenting on their posts, asking them to be on your podcast show, asked to share their blogs or their content. People love that. And it's those relationships, A, that will keep you top of mind so that when they do need a service that you offer, hopefully they're more likely to go to you because they've got that stronger relationship. But even people that they know, that they're like, hey, you know, if someone's looking for podcast production and, you know, hey, I'm friends with Lindsay and she knows what she's doing, I'll, you know, pass her name on. But it's also, again, thinking about your sales funnel, right? It's great to get people on your e-list. And I find that people sometimes are focused on that a little bit too much, because you need to think about once they're on your list, you really need to focus on the conversion of getting them to a sale. And part of that, you know, if you do have big sales funnels and you do have a lot of lead magnets, products, services, you also have to look about, you know, at the conversions, right? The analytics. So for instance, if you're getting a ton of people on your landing page, but you're not getting a lot of people on your e-list, or if you're, you know, if you're doing all these emails and sending out these tripwires, but they're not converting to buy that product, something's broken in that system. Something's not jiving with people. So you need to figure out where the break is and fix it. Otherwise, your revenue will not flow. It'll just stay in that same holding pattern. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely. And it is really important that we look for ways to maximize our revenue potential and try and look for some of the things that are preventing us from achieving that. And as we do go towards maximizing our revenue and overall having that smooth sailing business, there's a lot of work associated with achieving that type of growth. So how can we continue to sail smoothly with our businesses and grow, but not getting overwhelmed in the process?
I know. And it's funny because when you're an entrepreneur, you're usually, it's your baby, right? You're like, yeah. You have all this control over it. You don't want to hand anything off to anybody else. Or you're just used to wearing all these hats, especially in the beginning stages. You know, you might be your own bookkeeper and social media marketer and sales and client, you know, retention. You're wearing all these hats. But as soon as you kind of get to that growth spot where you're ready to break out, it's just so overwhelming. And honestly, the only way you're going to get past that so that you can grow is to get support. You know, whether it's a business coach to help you map out the next year so that you can scale your business more effectively, whether it's, you know, hiring a VA to do some of the admin stuff, or hiring a sales team, or hiring, you know, a content marketing firm like myself to take that online marketing kind of off your plate. Either which way, you need other members on your team to help you meet your goals faster.
And I see a recurring theme in conversations like this where a lot of it goes back to the team. And I've experienced this with myself where I have some freelancers who help me with a lot of things. And I can't imagine what I would be doing if I didn't have those freelancers helping me in various stages of my business. Like right now, my podcast editor is going to be listening to this. So there are just like so many different parts. Yeah. And having that team is going to save you a lot of time. And there are other things that hold you back, like not you, but like in general, people. Like,
oh yeah,
a team being like a big one if you don't have one. But in addition to that, what do you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential?
I mean, Lord knows I've held myself back. We all have, right? And sometimes it's like that whole imposter syndrome, right? It's like, you know, I live in a small town. I've got young kids. And, you know, I at the time thought, you know, who am I to think I can create a six-figure business by myself? Like, that's a pipe dream, right? Or, you know, sort of feeling like you're a little fish in a big pond sometimes. And I don't know, I remember going to, it was a Lisa Sasevich event, and for a client out in California, and I was just seeing all the different women there and, you know, the speakers on stage. And I was like, I can do this. I have those qualities. I'm smart. I'm like, why can't I? So I think even just opening up your mind to like what is possible and that it can be you. I mean, I've, you know, reached my six-figure goals, I don't know how long ago, but if I can do it, I'm like, you can do anything.
And I do find that something that another common theme is that if I can do it, you can do it. And people, I feel like when you're at that stage of like six figure, seven figure, whatever the big goal is, if I could do it, you could do it. Someone's looking up at that goal and thinking, but she's already there. Can you offer some inspiration for people who they're at that point where the person saying, if I could do it, you could do it. So, okay, how can I do it?
I mean, yeah, you have to have, you're not going to have a goal of, you know, six figures in the first year, right? I mean, you do have to be realistic. But it's like, before I started my business, I was working in a part-time job making $14 an hour. And then once I kind of was in the VA business, you know, the potential I saw was that much higher. For me, I think the biggest thing is that sometimes you just have to take that leap of faith and you just have to take action, right? You just have to decide to do it, take the action. Even if you're freaked out or you're worried that it's not going to work, you just have to do it anyways. Because I don't know, it's like you create your own self-prophecy. Do you know what I mean? When you make those investments, when you make those decisions, things just naturally, I think, propel forward and that you don't look back. That is definitely like there's a lot of head games, right? And it's a lot of mental stuff with your being an entrepreneur.
Definitely. And some people, they have negative self-talk. Others, they have affirmations. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to get on one of those boats, I definitely recommend daily affirmations because that'll counteract some of the negative self-talk we tend to give ourselves. And I know that your journey wasn't always smooth sailing. Like right now it's smooth sailing in comparison to what it was, but when the waves were a little more rough, can you share with us one of the big challenges you faced during that time and a powerful lesson you learned?
For sure. And thank you for using those sailing references. That's awesome.
My pleasure.
That's great. Yeah, it's, you know, we all, it's not all a, you know, smooth trip along the whole way, right? I mean, even some of the big, greatest, most successful entrepreneurs, like some of them have gone bankrupt before, or they've had a couple businesses that failed miserably. It's like, you don't necessarily hear all those little stories along the way. You just see that they're shining moment, and it may look all perfect, but I guarantee you it's not. And I remember when I changed my business model from being just a VA firm to focusing in on content marketing. And oddly enough, when I made that decision, I had this flood of, you know, sales and prospects and new clients, which you think would not be a problem, right? But I was freaking out. I was overwhelmed. I was stressed. I had, I think, 6 members of my team that time, or maybe 5, I don't remember. But it's like, and I had to take a lot of it on to get them onboarded, and I had to hire people quick. And then I'm like, the systems that I had in place were not working. There were things that were breaking, and just with the volume, I had to figure out quickly how to train my staff, how to create better systems, because a system that works for you a couple of years ago may not work today, and that's fine. So I had to change that so that I could A, not kill myself, and be able to scale my business. So that was, it was really challenging, but it was a huge lesson.
Lindsay, thank you for sharing with us that big challenge you faced and the powerful lesson you learned along the way. And one of the things that a lot of Breakthrough Success listeners know about me is that I'm a big bookworm. So
nice.
That is why I love asking this question, because Breakthrough Success listeners benefit from this one, and I also benefit from my reading list. So what are three great books you could think of that would help us grow our businesses and allow us to smoothly sail the waves?
I suck at remembering titles. Letting you know that up front. One of them was Dan Kennedy's something about ruthless management. I'll see if I can find it here. And the other one I read was Jim Palmer's It's Okay to Be Scared. Oh, here it is. No BS, Ruthless Management of People and Profits. That really helped me kind of get in the right mindset and find some tools for managing a team. So like now I've got a team, there's 10 of us all together, and it just kind of helps you, you know, you can't grow unless you have a team of some kind. So it just helps you kind of manage the people, expectations, and so that you can all grow together. That was really helpful. Jim Palmer's was It's Okay to Be Scared, but Never Give Up. And it, I was kind of talking earlier about, you know, those really successful entrepreneurs that have experienced challenges or failures. And that book really helped me realize that we all have our own journey, and it's not all, you know, skipping along merrily on a flower embedded path. You know what I mean? There are going to be some rough roads ahead, but those two I would say. And then I have read a book before, and I can't remember the title for the life of me, but it's on my Kindle. Something to do with, this is not going to help our audience whatsoever, but it was basically like how to manage your inbox, but I can't remember the title of it. But man, it had these tips I used today, like just how to manage your inbox so that you can be more productive. Sorry, I can't remember the title.
No worry, Lindsay. We'll get those book links on the show notes at marketbirdie.com/E82. And before we put this episode to a close, and even before we get to the point where you share with us where Breakthrough Success listeners can find you on the web, I've asked you several questions, and now I'm going to flip the stage to you. So what is one question you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often?
I'm not often stumped. That's a good question. sign of a good host. I think we should ask ourselves, are we happy? Because quite often as an entrepreneur, you're wearing so many hats. Maybe you're, you know, doing the social media posts and you hate doing it. Maybe you're, you know, answering your own emails and you hate doing it. It's, or, you know, you're not good at it, whatever it may be. You need to think about what in your day actually makes you happy. It like inspires you and makes you feel good about your business again, because it's so easy to get caught up in the day to day and get in a habit and a rut of doing what you're doing. But you need to kind of, okay, what can I take off my plate, or how can I restructure my day so that I feel more jazzed about my business?
That is a really great question, especially when you think about the context of our conversation. We've been focusing on having a smooth sailing business, but if your business is smooth sailing, but your life isn't smooth sailing, then that's not going to give you the happiness you would expect, even if you have a smooth sailing business.
Exactly.
Well, Lindsay, thank you for providing that really great question for us to think over as we build our smooth sailing businesses and as we have our lives smooth sailing as well. And for all the Breakthrough Success listeners wondering, where can we find you on the web?
I would go to smoothbusinessgrowth.com, and then you can find all my social platforms on there. Of course, blogs, my videos, and my podcast.
All right, Breakthrough Success listeners, those links will be in the show notes at marketbirdie.com/E82. Lindsay, it was such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. You had some good questions there.
To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using.
If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markgaberti.com/iTunes or markgaberti.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today.
Want your tweets get retweeted to my 360,000 Twitter followers? All you have to do is say something nice about the Breakthrough Success Podcast and include the link markgaberti.com/iTunes. Once you've posted that tweet, email me mark@markgaberti.com and I will retweet your tweet to my 360,000 followers.
This podcast is a production done by Mark Gaberti. For more insights, head on over to markgaberti.com.